Let's open our Bibles again, please, at John chapter 16, and we come to the last three verses in the chapter, John 16, verse 31. Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Let's stand together, please, and we'll ask the Lord to write these words on our hearts and help us to grasp them in our ministry today. Father, we thank Thee for these wonderful, wonderful words, that Jesus has overcome the world. We take great peace today in the knowledge that the devil is not in control, nor will have the last say. We thank Thee that Thou art Creator of this world, and Thou art the Redeemer of this world, and Thou art the Savior of sinners. We take great delight today in this communion, that we might take these symbols and remember what Jesus has accomplished for us and all that we are in Him. O Lord, help today. Help in the preaching. Give ear to Thy word, O Lord, and we pray that You will work Your will in us through these means of grace, in the Savior's precious name. Amen. These are the closing verses and words of our Lord Jesus to His disciples on that night of His arrest. We've been looking at chapter 13, 14, 15, now 16, and we're coming to the close of this evening discourse, and the Lord is very soon to be arrested. You'll notice chapter 17 is all about the prayer that Jesus made to His Father. Chapter 18, He goes into the garden where He is arrested. And so these are indeed the final words of the Lord Jesus to His own disciples before He is arrested and they are scattered. And He tells them, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." What a great text for our communion service here this morning. And we must settle our hearts to take communion in a right manner. We must be focused upon our relationship with our own Savior. If you cannot say that Jesus is mine and I am His blood was shed for me and I am washed in His blood, then really you have no part in this communion service. And we must get to the cross today to remember the sacrifice, the sufferings of our Savior who died in our place. But we must also remember that Jesus died on that cross as a victor, not in defeat. He conquered for us while He led down His death upon that cross. Now, I know that to the world that's an oxymoron, that's an opposite. But for the Christian who rejoices in Jesus' death, we rejoice that by His life led down at the cross, we are delivered from death and have eternal life with God. That is the gospel. Now, at the beginning of this discourse, away over chapter 14, 1, the Lord said, "Let not your heart be troubled." And here again, He is saying to His disciples that "My peace I give unto you. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but in me, in my fellowship, in union, fellowship, and in worship of me, you will have peace. Even while the world is working against you, and seeking to pull you down and to hinder your Christian living, in me you will have wonderful peace. Fear not, because I have overcome the world. And isn't it wonderful to notice how the Lord is always laying a foundation for his disciples to have peace? He is giving them solid grounds on which to rest. And this is also the reason for the communion supper. The Lord is calling us to rest in his work. We are not the workers. Jesus is the worker. And he has done it all for us upon the cross. And he cried out, "It is finished." And here he says that he has overcome. We take great delight in resting in that. And so the Lord commands us to be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Now, we need to look a little more specifically on how exactly the Lord overcame the world. Firstly, by taking on the world in his life. Jesus' life was a daily miracle of purity because he was sinless. No other has walked through the curses and the cancers and the diseases and the blasphemies of this world untainted. Every one of us has fallen into sin, but Jesus knew no sin. Because he was supernaturally conceived in Mary's womb, he was God in the flesh and lived a supernatural life. Every day he was an overcomer. Even when the devil, after his baptism, came to tempt him in the wilderness. And three separate attacks against our Lord Jesus. Satan sought to pull him down. He pointed to the stones and he said, after 40 days of fasting, he said to Jesus, "Turn these stones into bread and enjoy the bread." But Jesus would not abuse his power. He was to obey his Father only and not succumb to the prey of the devil. And so there in that wilderness, Jesus conquered Satan by his mighty power. And all the miracles of Jesus demonstrated that he was conquering the world. And many came to him with those who were possessed by demons, and Jesus cast them out. You remember how the devils went into the herd of swine and they rushed down to the sea and the devils were cast out. Or the demoniac of Gadara, the man who no one could tame. He was a monster who no one could tame at all. He was chained day and night, and Jesus set him free. And whether it was to calm the wind or the waves, or healing the multitudes of their sick and diseased, the curse of this fallen world was overcome by our Lord Jesus. And so he was an overcomer by taking on the world. And no one ever died in the presence of the living Lord Jesus. He raised from the dead, and when he was on the cross, he died first before others could die, because death he conquered and was Lord over all even then. And the Lord Jesus conquered the world by surrendering to death on the cross. You know what happened that night in the garden when the officers of the Sanhedrin appeared as a mob to arrest him. Peter would take a sword and defend the Lord, but Jesus said, "No, put up thy sword." And even though when he spoke, his arresters fell back in a heap, even then he allowed himself to be arrested by those really who had no power to arrest him. And the wonder of the gospel plan in the heart of God is that he sent his Son to die, to be a willing lamb led to the slaughter. And in his arrest, in his trial, in his crucifixion, there was not a word that he would be freed from that death. Indeed, they mocked and shouted and said, If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. But Jesus suffered on and endured it all by himself. He could not save the world by saving himself. And so he voluntarily offered up himself as a substitute, as our Savior. Now let's go to John 12 and verse 24 and see the principle of the wheat, the corn of wheat falling into the ground. Jesus' words again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. And just as the corn of wheat is sown in the earth and dies, our Lord Jesus conquered by giving his life, that out of his one death, a tremendous harvest of souls, all the elect, all who would ever believe on Jesus, would be purchased by the power of his blood. And of course, he must go to the cross because he was our substitute. He died in our place vicariously. So that it's true to say for believers that when Jesus died on the cross, you died. Jesus took your place and suffered in your stead that he would save you from sin. And he must go to the cross because cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And our Lord Jesus became a curse for us. Why? That we might know no curse. This is the saving work and saving power of Jesus, the Son of God. By becoming a curse for us, we know no curse. We are delivered and made righteous in the sight of God. And of course, when Jesus cried out on that cross, it is finished. His work of substitutionary suffering was done, and our Lord Jesus was at rest. Salvation was secured for all who trust in him. And that's the overcomer who died in our place. And that's how we may take the cup and bread today to remember, look into that cup and rejoice in the blood that was shed for us. Look at the bread and rejoice in the body that was broken for us. And we rest, we rejoice that our Savior was our substitute on that tree. He overcame for us. Now, if you are in John 12, I want you to go with me to verse 31. And you'll see another way by which Jesus conquered. He conquered the world by defeating the prince of this world. He says, John 12, 31, Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And remember that Jesus came into the world to destroy the works of the devil. Our Lord came as a conqueror to defeat every work of Satan. And he says, now, that means the hour has come. This is the appointed time when he must do battle against that enemy. And their judgment was upon Satan himself. And so at the cross, our Lord Jesus was in a battle against Satan. And on that cross, he was spoiling Satan, principality and powers. Another key verse on this is Colossians 2, verse 13. And I'm learning in preaching to give people time to look up the text because it means an awful lot more and it stays with you an awful lot longer when you read it in black and white in your own Bible. Colossians 2 and verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and... Oh, sorry, that's... yes, Colossians 2:13. And you, being dead in your sins and the circumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now, how did he do that? How did Jesus forgive all our trespasses? Well, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And so there was something laid on the body of Jesus that was nailed to the cross with our Lord Jesus. And that was your sin and mine. He was our sin bearer. He was our lamb, our substitute, taking our place. And as he was nailed to that cross, our sins were nailed with him, so that they are blotted out and they are forgiven in totality. And then in the next verse, 15, and having spoiled principalities. And the word spoiled means plundered. As a victor in a battle, when the enemy is defeated, he plunders the enemy's goods and riches. And the Lord Jesus on that cross, he took from the devil the souls of men that were held captive. And he spoiled principalities and powers. And he made a show of them openly, triumphing. And so our Lord Jesus is our overcomer upon that cross. And satanic forces that have invaded this world, these minions of Satan and hell who have come into this world to bring the curse, to bring death, to bring sorrow, to bring destruction, Jesus met that force of darkness and he conquered them. And he takes souls out of their captivity. If you're a Christian today, you're free. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. You're no longer the devil's slave. You're no longer in his control. You are a servant, a slave of the Lord Jesus, and gladly at that. There are no reluctant slaves of Jesus. We are servants that delight in the one who purchased us at the cross. And so as Christians, we're here today to worship. And we worship because of the victory that was completed there upon that tree at Calvary. And we are not here today to offer up anything that will win the victory. The victory is done. The conquering is over. And the conqueror himself, our Lord Jesus, speaks to us, take rest. Rest in my victory. Receive my blessings. And so by this communion today, we take the cup and bread by faith and we rest in the victory that Jesus has already accomplished. Who was it that said we are more than conquerors through him that loved us? The conqueror makes us conquerors because we're delivered from the grip of Satan and sin and we're set free. But you know, we forget these things. In the rush of life, in the little devotions that we make, we forget these things. We need to be reminded. And so as we look into that cup and bread today, rejoice in your conqueror and that you are made an overcomer through the Lord Jesus. One more way by which the Lord conquers the world. He conquers the world by taking the world out of our hearts. You see, if the Lord didn't do that, he conquered at Calvary and he routed the devil, but he never took the world out of your heart. And you were still in love with the world, rejecting the grace of the Savior, he wouldn't be a conqueror in your life. And all cross bearers are lovers of the cross. We love the cross. We kiss the Son and we kiss the cross because it takes the world out of our hearts. And by the power of the message of the cross, we give up the world and we follow the Lord Jesus. I want you to think of that hymn that we would have loved to sing today. Tell me the old, old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story simply as to a little child. And then stanza two, tell me the story slowly, that I may take it in, that wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin. Tell me the story often, for I forget so soon, the early dew of morning has passed away at noon. Tell me the story softly, with earnest tones and grieve. Remember, I'm the sinner Jesus came to save. And in the telling of the story and in the reminding of Calvary, the Lord takes the world out of our hearts. This story was told of an old saint who was visited by a young pastor, and the old man was dying. And he, young man, went to visit him, and he sat with him a while, and the conversation was kind of stilted. And the young pastor said, "Sir, I'm not sure what I can tell you more." And the old man said, "Tell me the old, old story." And that account was learned by a Miss Hankey, and she was inspired to write this children's hymn, "Tell Me the Old, Old Story." And that became one of the most translated children's hymn in all of the world. It was probably popularized by Ira D. Sankey, who had it sung at the Great Crusades by D.L. Moody. And there's another story of a stockbroker who turned to gambling and sin and lost everything. And he was turning to suicide. And as he contemplated the act of taking his own life, he heard a congregation singing this song, "Tell Me the Old, Old Story." And as he listened to those words, it sank in that Jesus died for him. And he was recovered from his suicidal ways and became a Christian. The old, old story took the world out of his heart. And it can do that for you today. The Lord Jesus removes the lusts of the world out of our hearts. Those vices, those sins that need to be broken. And the Lord does so by faith. Faith is the hand that receives the promises. It's the key that unlocks the promises of God to our souls. And when the Lord opens our heart to believe on the Lord Jesus, the world diminishes and Jesus becomes all in all to the believer. The Lord also takes the world out of our hearts by repentance. When the Holy Spirit convicts us, he turns us and turns us away from the world. He works to draw us back from the very paths of sin, and the things that we loved that were sweet become bitter. One look at the cross, one sight of the blood, and we recognize it was my sins that Jesus paid for on that cross. Who can love sin any longer? Who can love the world any longer when Jesus comes into our hearts? And then by the word of God, this Bible will keep me from sin, just as sin will keep me from the Bible. And if you're a Bible reader, if you meditate and memorize God's word, the world will be taken out of your heart. Again, by baptism. In baptism, we are to die to self and to sin and to rise in newness of life. But the symbol of baptism, which is water, it's only a symbol. It's a symbol of the work of the Spirit in our hearts. And the Spirit of God takes away the world so that we can make that vow that I will renounce the world and sin and be a disciple of Jesus only. I will follow Jesus all my days. And then the Lord also has anointed or appointed communion to take the world out of our hearts. And that's why he bids us to remember him in his death. And we are doing today, by taking this juice and bread, what the Lord desires, that he may further take the world out of our hearts. Have you found the world to be strong? Have you found its temptations nigh break you? Well, here at this communion table, there is the promise that the Lord will give you strength. The Lord will give you victory. And as you trust in Jesus' victory, you become a conqueror through his power. And by faith and by these visible signs, as we look unto them and we consider Jesus' love, Jesus' victory at the cross, power comes into our souls that we can say no to the world, no to sin, and that we can rest in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus. Communion is to be taken with a knowledge of redemption. You can't take the cup and bread without thinking of Calvary and the cross and what Jesus did for you upon that tree. Communion is to be taken with joy, resting in the work of the Savior. Communion is taken also by a personal profession of faith. I hope that you're ready to tell the world that you belong to Jesus. How can you come here today and take this cup and bread and say, I'm a secret disciple? Can't do that. You're coming openly to tell your brothers and sisters and all who are here today, I love Jesus too. He died on that cross for me. And I take that cup and bread to let it be shown that I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus. And I'm willing to tell the world. Communion is to be taken with a desire for Christ-likeness. You want to be changed. You want your heart to be changed. You want your walk to be a holy walk. You want your life to reflect that others will know that you have been with Jesus. That's what communion can do for you. Communion is to be taken as a means to live above the world and witness of the love of Jesus to you. These two great statements come together. Jesus cried out on the cross, it is finished. And Jesus told his disciples, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This is the rest for our faith. And we shall not fear what men will do. Be of good cheer. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Praise him. Let us worship him in this communion service.